I am blessed, if you will, to be able to share. Some of you don't know the background, but I'm a sort of retired Westland pastor, and it's great to get on the bike and occasionally ride it again. We're doing a series through Disciples. It's an acronym that we've used. A few weeks ago, Caleb spoke on the D, directed by the Word. Gene spoke on the I, for empowered by the Spirit. Last week, Jeremy spoke on S, suffused with love, saturated with love. And today we're looking at the letter C, controlled by the attitude of Christ. Anybody have had kids that had attitudes? Sometimes you want to take those attitudes and do a fine tuning with them. You know what? Each and every one of us here has an attitude. Some is attitudes are great. Some of our attitudes may have to have some adjustments made to them. But this morning we're going to look at the attitude of Christ being controlled through us. I'm going to pray one more time. As Gene said, it is a house of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, this morning we come to you. Lord, we're thankful for the Word. We're thankful for the time that we can come together in openness. Lord, that we don't have to do it in hidden behind closed doors. Lord, that we can worship and praise you with a clear mind, not afraid of what could happen. Lord, cause us, Lord, today as we go about our activities, as we go forward, to realize the attitude that you have willingly given us that we can take and use in your name. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Today I want to remind you, the believer, that being a disciple in Christ is more than just a title. Being a believer is an attitude. Being a believer is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It's a change. It's an attitude adjustment. When we become believers in Christ, it becomes like the air we breathe, the food we eat, when we allow Christ to be a part of us. In essence, it's a brand new life. I trust and pray that each of you here today are believers in Christ. If you're not, I encourage you to make that commitment today. I want to start off this morning controlled by the attitude of Christ. So let us look at the attitude that Christ had. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We know the account. Every December we go through the birth of Christ, how he was born of a virgin, born as a baby. I often wonder if God would have just set Christ as a live person, full grown, come to teach. I wonder how the world would have accepted him. But the scripture tells us he came in the form of a baby. Christ humbled himself to be a human being, or the form of a human being, as a baby. He grew up. He had a dad, Joseph. He had a mom, Mary. And he had siblings. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us too much about his early years. It tells us when he was born, and it tells us an account about the time that he was 12. I'm not going to get into that. If you're interested, you read the book of Luke. Those are the only two accounts. But I tell you, I was a kid. I was born, I was 12. I was every age in the middle. I stubbed my toe. I scratched my knees. I got the finger pointed at me from my dad. I'll tell you a story. My dad's a preacher, he's retired now. We used to sit on the front pew, and in the middle of the service, my dad excused himself to come down and adjust my attitude. It set me back in the pew and said, "You sit there, son, till the end of service." That happened more than once. And it didn't hurt me. It didn't adjust any of my internal feelings. I'm sure, as much as Jesus was God, he was human, and I'm sure he had to be disciplined as a youngster. Scripture doesn't tell us this, but it says he came in the form of a man. It says that he knew what we went through. And friends, today we go through a lot of stuff, and he's been there and done that. Christ, as much as he was God, came in a human form. And he knew why he was coming. He knew that his time on earth wasn't going to be long. He knew that he was coming to be the Savior for us here. Did we know him at that time? We weren't even born. We weren't even a twinkle in our dad's eye. But he saw us. And he knew 2,000 plus years ago that each and every one of you would be sitting in this church in that seat here today. And he says, "I'm coming as a baby for these people." And history tells us that Christ was about 33 years old when he died upon the cross. He took the shame of death on the cross for us today. Friends, that's a powerful attitude. If you will, he had the world by the tail, and he was able to do whatever he wanted, yet he chose to do his Father's bidding and went to the cross for us today. Friends, today, sometimes our attitude trips us up big time. Things happen, we fold our arms, "I'm not doing." We get upset, we get into a snit, and then you know what? "Lord, why does this happen to me?" How many know what I'm talking about? "Why does this have to always fall this way on me?" Friends, grab a mirror, look into it, and say, "How is my attitude? How is my attitude? Do I display a Christ-like attitude? Is my attitude the attitude that Christ is willing to smile upon? Is my attitude the attitude that's going to show the neighbor that I'm a believer?" Do you know what? The best sermon that anybody can ever read is you. No words. Your attitude, how you are out and about. If you profess to be a believer, then your attitude, your actions, the way you live, the way you practice life will display who's in control of your life. And if there's any doubt, a few years ago, I was at a place pastoring, and there was an individual that attended the church, and he had moved on. And I was talking to somebody in the community, and I made a comment about, "Well, you know, so-and-so, they used to come here." And he looked at me, and he says, "You mean this guy that did this and this?" And I said, "Yes." I didn't even know he was a Christian. Friends, can people say that of you? Or do they know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are a believer, that you call on Christ? I cheat. I do have notes. Our life controlled with Christ's attitude. In Romans 12, in the first two verses, Paul tells us, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How can we do that? How can we, as human beings, we don't have the ability to say we're God, but we're human. With God's grace, He's part of us. But how can we say, how can we maneuver, how can we live, as Paul is demonstrating to us in Romans 12, 1 and 2? It's simple. Let God be the leader of our hearts. Let God control us. Let our attitude be the line that He wants us to be. We can be in the world, but not a part of it. Friends, today, that is an attitude adjustment that a lot of us have learned. That we can be part of the world, or in the world, but we don't have to be associated with the world. Friends, our association is with Christ. We're just passing through. This is a temporary trial. I'm going to use the word trial because our lives sometimes are a headache. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the end of the book says. It says that He's coming back for His church, for a bride, His church, not just a Wesleyan. It says His church. It doesn't matter the denomination that's on the door. As long as you are led by Christ and Christ is in you, then you are part of that church. Amen? I often think about, I have a vivid imagination, and I often think about when Christ was in the garden praying, and He asked the Father, "Let this cup pass from me. Lord, make another angle for this to happen." But He obediently went. Friend, that is the largest part that I want to imply to you today. That being a Christian isn't about me. God may direct you in a path that you don't want to go. God may ask you to do something that you think is beyond your control. But I have learned something. I'm not that old. But I have learned something in the few years I've been around, that God will never put you up to something that He knows you can't handle. It may look frightening, but you know what? With Him beside you, you can walk through anything. You can do anything. Some examples of Christ's attitude. Before I want to share a personal story, my wife and I were working in a church in Brockville, and we were the Sunday school youth, and I was on the pastoral team at the church, and I'm not a huggy person. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't like hugging people. I don't. It's just something that this is my space. I'll shake your hand, I'll fist bump you, but please don't hug me. Okay? I don't, no one here has done that. I'm just saying, that's me. And that's weird, eh, as a pastor? Anyway, we were at the church, and we always sat in the back row. And we had three little kids, and as kids are, sometimes they're a little noisy, so we like the back to be out of the way. Well, Brockville's not that far from Kingston, and the Kingston Penitentiary is in Kingston. And this Sunday morning, we were a little late getting to church, so we got in. And there was this guy sitting where we sat. Now, he moved over, and there's five of us, so he left four seats. So that meant I had to hold my son on my knee. Micah is my son. I had to hold him on my knee. And this big guy, again, I can tell this story because I've chatted with him since, but he smelled. He smelled. His clothes were dirty. He was in a green khaki outfit. He had a green khaki kick bag with him. And he smelled. He needed a bath. He needed to brush his teeth. He needed to have shampoo in his hair. I didn't know who he was. So usually I would sit here, my wife, and then the three kids. Well, this morning I put the wife here, the two girls, and I sat beside him holding Micah. I wasn't going to leave anything to chance here. And service went on, carried on, and the Lord impressed me to give that guy a hug. And I argued with God all service. I kid you not, I argued with God all service. I says, Lord, I can't hug this guy. I'll get something stained on my shirt. In those days, we used to wear ties. We don't wear ties. I almost wore one this morning, but I have a collection of silk ties, so I didn't want to ruin one of my silk ties. And I said, I can't hug this guy. And all through service, man, it was just biting at me. We got up to do the end of the service, and I leaned over, and I said, welcome, and I gave the guy a hug. Do you know what? That guy said, how can I get saved? We took him down front. When my wife and I left the church, he took our spot. He became the youth pastor at that church. You know? And I sat on my hands all service. And God was telling me to give that guy a hug. And I was fighting it. Sometimes God will bug us to do something. And you know what? If we don't do it, look back to the Old Testament with Balaam. A donkey talked to him. Friends, today I'd hate for an animal to talk to you for something that you should have dealt with. Think about it. The Bible is full of examples of Christ. What he did, how he ministered. This morning I'm just going to blurp on two. In Mark chapter 10, there was a blind man Bartimaeus, sat on the side of the road begging for alms. He heard that Christ was coming and started hollering for Christ to recognize him. And people beside him said, be quiet. You're just a small guy. Christ doesn't have time for you. But he persevered. And then Christ stopped and just said to him, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want my sight. And he says, go your way, your faith has healed you. Christ stopped in his schedule to deal with somebody that was poor, somebody that didn't matter, somebody that was just barely existing. In Matthew chapter 8, another occurrence happened with Christ. Again, he was on the move, traveling, and a leper came to him and asked to be cleansed. And the scripture says that Christ took him by the hand. Now, I don't know about you all, but leprosy is very contagious. Leprosy is a disease that booted you out of the town. You lived in a leper colony. You were just pushed to the side. You were non-existent. Friends, today, there's people that have spiritual leprosy, if you will, that we deal with every day. And what do? Do we reach out and encourage them? Do we reach out and give them a blessing? Do we show Christ to them through our attitude? Or are we too busy living life the way we want it? In the acronym that we're using, the letter C is to be controlled by the attitude of Christ. Friends, do you know what you're saying to be controlled by the attitude of Christ? Do you know what you're really saying? You're taking your name. In my case, Jim Spurl, you're nobody. You are non-existent. Christ is the leader of you, and you are his ambassador where you're here on this land. You take a second seat. He's in control. Friends, today, do we really understand what we ask when we say, Christ, take control of my life. Let your attitude be displayed in me. I've often wondered many times that if Christ himself was here in a human form today, if he visited churches, whether he'd see his faith in action. I've wondered that. Not here so much, but there are churches that are so busy with a controlled atmosphere that there's no room for Christ. There's no movement for his will. And yet we sit, or as a group, not here, as a group in a whole, we say, Lord, use us. Lord, minister through us. But when the rubber meets the road, And he's asking us to do the simplest thing, to invite somebody for dinner, to give somebody a bottle of water, to stop and pray for somebody as they have need. You know, my biggest pet peeve is when somebody comes up and says, "Can you pray for me?" And the other party says, "Yes, I will. I'll remember you in prayer tonight at devotions." Friends, that's hogwash. They want prayer. You pray for them right then and there. It doesn't matter who's around. It doesn't matter who is going to watch or who's going to point a finger or who's going to criticize. Are you an ambassador for Christ? Is Christ's attitude showing forth through you? Years and years and years ago, we were trained to say grace at all our meals. We didn't eat until grace was said. And as I became a teenager, I knew we had to say grace. But I was embarrassed to say grace at school, in a restaurant. So I had this little thing. I used to drop a napkin on the floor. Bend over and pick it up. You know what? Today now, it don't matter where I am. Doesn't matter who's around me. I bow my head in prayer. I've matured. I've let Christ change that in me. And as funny and comical that is, I think that will resonate with a lot of people in how you sometimes do things. Do you do things boldly, or do you let it slide through your everyday activity? In closing this morning, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, again, Paul is telling us, actually, let me just turn to that. Galatians 5 and verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." What does that mean? Friends, when you accept Christ into your life, you're a brand new creature, a brand new creation. You have the world before you, and you are on the road to being a disciple of Christ. Until the first bump. Until the first person says, "What are you doing? That's weird. Why do you do that for? That's different." And then we question why we're doing what we're doing. Paul tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free. Friends, the liberty. He died for us. He's gone and done it all. We just have to follow him. That's the liberty. And don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Whatever was behind you is gone in faith. And you know what? The only person that'll hold that against you is yourself. You have to realize that God has forgiven you as a person. He's taken it to the cross for you as a believer. Today, tomorrow, and in the past, those that have accepted Christ, we will become that bride, that church that he's coming back to take. We are his people. I know I said I'm closing. He has died for our sins. We're brand new. Let's take his attitude and apply it to our life so that we will be an example of him. Do you all get that? Let's change our attitudes today. And remember that phrase years ago, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Reinvent that in your lifestyle. What would Jesus do in the situations that face you? It wasn't cheap to allow us the freedom that we have. Christ voluntarily went to the cross for each one here. Let's make Christ proud of the believer that we have become. I did this backwards. I did it on purpose. I never told you the title of my message. But in my closing, I'm going to share it. I've entitled my thoughts today, The Jesus Way. Friends, let's make our life the Jesus Way. Thank you.
Well, we're going to get ready to take communion today. Just as we think about what Christ did for us, let's just sing the song together and really focus in on the words that we're singing. This song that we're going to sing is called Living Hope. And Jesus did die, but he also was resurrected, and he is alive and with us today.